All right, 1 minute countdown. So you have your Bible, friend. We're loading up the Gatling gun today. All right. Welcome to PPF Ohio.
Woohoo!
Never a dull moment.
Definitely
and, not. We stick to the Word of God as close as we can. And all I can say humanly possible, we need to hang on to the Lord spiritually as possible. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10. And last week as we ended the study, Pastor Miller read verses 12 and 13. And that's all the further, but as I was meditating on the scripture to make this all make sense today, we need to back up to verse 11. So let's all read together verses 11 to 15, and Lord willing, we'll make it. This is jam-packed today. All right, let's start with verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. All right, Johnny, open us up with prayer on these scriptures right here, buddy.
Dear Lord, well, thank you for bringing us all here safely again, and just pray we'll be attentive to your word and, you know, learn things or be reminded of things that we need to remember and know so we can serve you better. And pray you'll bless the fellowship today. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. All right. For a quick start for you, I was doing some meditating on there. Up here we have the ABCs of salvation. And I was thinking about it, I came up with the ABC of Bible believers. But I had to add a D, all right? Bible believers, you fall in four, what are the four categories? Category A, you're an Arminian. Arminians believe in free will, but you can lose your salvation. Or you can be B, a Bible believer. You believe in free will, and once you get saved, you can't lose your salvation.
Amen.
C, you could end up being a Calvinist, where there is no free will, and you're predestinated and elected if you make it to the end. All right? Or D, dummy. Okay? And the word dummy comes from the word dumb, which means inability to speak. All right? It doesn't mean you can't talk. It just means you have no knowledge of what you're talking about. That's the way it goes. You fall in one of those four categories. Here at Bible Believers, you already figured out where the letter B. Bible Believers. All right, let's take a look at verse 11. In verse 11 here, it says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Well, we already know that believeth on him means talking about Christ. But notice here it says, for the scripture. For the scripture saith, this is found, let's take a look, who can find Isaiah 28:16 to start with? And then I need someone to take a look at, okay, Matthew 21, verses 42 to 44. We'll go one Old Testament, one New Testament, that's probably all the further we need to go. There is another reference in Acts 4:11, for those who like to study scripture, so it's in there at least three times. All right, who's,
what was
yes, huh?
Matthew
was
22
something? Okay, 21, chapter 21, verses 42 to 44.
So do you want me to start with Isaiah 8:16?
Yes.
Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste.
Yep. That's the scripture verse that goes back to Romans 10:11. And just for a little background on here, because it's mentioned again in Matthew, apparently when they were building the first temple for Solomon, they had all the stones cut. They were all ready to be put together. And apparently the guy in charge came across one stone that did not look like it fit in anywhere. So he decided to have his crew take it and throw it in the Kidron River because it just didn't match any of the other rocks. All the other rocks were the same, apparently. And as they were building the temple, they came down to one last stone that needed to be put in place, and that was the cornerstone. And so he had to send his men back down to the creek, you know, the river, and bring the stone back up and put it into place. Now,
where did you read that?
I heard that in one of the messages that I heard preached to me.
It's apocryphal.
Apocryphal?
That's the word for it. If it's not in the Bible, and you...
Oh, true.
But it doesn't mean
it's in
the Bible.
That's not what that word means.
I know, but now I'm going to have a word
about that. Well, anyway, well, anyway, we look at the temple was incomplete without the cornerstone.
Yes.
All right?
Right, right.
One of the traditions, I collect books of the Jews, by the Jews. It's fascinating what ones I have. But one of the Jewish traditions is that when you build a house, you always leave one part of the house unfinished. All right? And because of that, the cornerstone here being Christ, he's the cornerstone. The temple is incomplete without Christ. Okay? Our salvation is incomplete without Christ. And so having a part of your house not completed was where reminding to the Jews that the Messiah is going to come someday and complete all things. Doug, I saw your hand.
Yeah, when I worked for stonemasons for 2-3 years, that's the most important stone.
Without the cornerstone, everything falls down.
Yeah.
That's why I would put a question mark on that apocryphal story, because if they had done that,
However it worked out, it was the one stone that was incomplete.
You know, I also heard people say, and this is absurd, that they put it on the top of the building, but it's not the exact.
No, right.
That's why it's called the foundation.
I know, but I've heard people say that.
Oh,
it's just
crazy. They'll put a symbolic stone in buildings, but it's not actually the foundation.
It doesn't support any of that.
Correct. Right. Well, we're just going through the idea that it was incomplete. And that the original building, they threw away the main stone that was needed to make it complete. That's what we're going for.
So, yeah, without Christ.
The analogy works. I'm just saying it's not historically accurate. I've never seen any evidence that actually happens. Just for anyone listening.
Absolutely. I agree with you.
But the analogy works.
That's okay, Johnny.
The analogy is.
So that's an interesting thought about the cornerstone there. Why is it talked about being one when it seems like there would be four cornerstones in a normal building?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you this.
Show us that you don't know building.
Exactly.
I mean, construction. Think about it. I mean, in real construction, there's a cornerstone.
It's the chief stone.
Where
it all begins.
Yeah. I mean, construction-wise, that's how it works.
Or is it just whatever corner you start on? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, we don't have a complete knowledge of anything. I would tell you this, a good portion of the New Testament deals with farming. All right? Well, how many people in Worthington are farmers? Okay? I know one farmer up north. Okay? So him and I have great conversations. But apparently only 2% of the American people are farmers now. When at one point it was close to 100%, because when they came in, they had to have fields and everything. So our understanding of Scripture, if you're not a farmer and don't understand how things are farmed, how can you reach when someone doesn't even have any knowledge whatsoever? All right. One of the things I think about from time to time is on Gilligan's Island. They're stranded on an island. And a crate happens to come in with cans of food. And Mrs. Howe thought that cans grew on shelves. Okay? So in the stupidity of not understanding, you take seeds, you plant them, you harvest them, and you put them in the cans. All right? The pastor that married Jill and I talked about when he was in Kentucky working on the farm. They went to the city. The city slickers made fun of them because they'd never been in a big city. They didn't see all these things. Well, when the city slickers came to the farm, the humility got reversed because they'd never seen the cow. You know, they never saw anything before. So we have to remember when we fellowship with one another, we don't have complete knowledge. And if we had the complete knowledge of Christ, we would really be something great happening. But the knowledge of Christ, if you take a look at what is available today and what's happening today, the train's not moving. It's not even going in the right direction. The knowledge they had about Christ 100 years ago produced fruit. And today we have all this knowledge going on, and there's hardly any movement going on with the communities, going on with anything.
Which is the rejection of the knowledges.
Rejection of the cornerstone. Yeah.
Bible believers have that.
Correct.
And
right.
If you don't believe the Bible.
And
what's the name of that song? I Lay in Zion. You know, it's chief cornerstone.
Yeah. Here is a little different because we have the true Word of God, and we're trying to make a difference in the lives of the people around us.
Amen.
We are trying to follow the Lord. Let's take a look at, let's see.
Do you want that Matthew scripture read?
Yes. Who's got the Matthew scripture?
You
can.
Oh, I was going to look. I've got it.
I can.
Okay.
Matthew 21.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, 21 verses 42 to 44.
Jesus said to them, "Did ye ever read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder."
Yeah. We notice in Isaiah, it's called a foundation. If you notice here, again, he's making reference to the scripture going back to Isaiah. When the cornerstone is rejected, and the Jews rejected the cornerstone, if you take a look here in verse 43, he says, "Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruit thereof."
Amen.
And when you study Christian history from there, it goes up north, and then it travels over to Greece, then it travels over to Rome, then it travels up to Europe, England, then it's come over here. It's been traveling in a westward direction, and it's bore fruit all along the path. The Jewish nation has not borne any fruit whatsoever. Why? Because they have rejected the cornerstone. Here in America, we are so close to the verge of rejecting the cornerstone. We are so close to it. And we need to get back to knowing the Lord and knowing why He's the foundation. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Since we know in Isaiah 26:16, it's the foundation. Cornerstone is the foundation. And the Bible defines who the foundation is in 1 Corinthians 3, 10 and 11.
You want somebody to read it?
Yeah.
I can do it.
Go ahead, Johnny.
"According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Right. Amen. You know that Jesus Christ is the foundation.
That's why it's so important to have the right Jesus.
And correct.
Everybody just flippantly says, I have Jesus. And it's like, okay, is it the biblical Jesus, the one who was born of a virgin? Mm-hmm. And this is why I stress this when I'm teaching, that if you're what is called a quote-unquote liberal, or you reject that. You reject that he's born of a virgin. You teach
yeah.
that he was the bastard offspring of fornication, and somehow he's able to be some wonderful Messiah figure. The Bible says he was born of a virgin, he's sinless. And only because he was God who came as a man, born of a virgin, sin without, that means he didn't have the stain of original sin, but also he didn't commit any sin. That's the only reason he could die for our sins.
Correct.
The whole yep. thing is in that cornerstone.
Yeah, that's why it's got to be the Jesus.
In the 1990s, I believe, in one of the Lutherans, either a pastorate or seminaries, this guy came out and said he did not believe the virgin birth.
Yeah.
And they still let him stay in the seminary or
oh,
as a pastorate.
They're
yeah. Look here, if you deny that, we'll get into here about laying the cornerstone. We know right now it's Christ himself. Let's take a look at, we're going to go with John chapter 1. And John chapter 1, 1 and 14. Here we go. Who's got that one? John 1, verses 1 and 14. Go ahead, Doug.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. Verse 14 says, and he took all flesh and dwelt among us.
Yes. So let's show you right there that Scripture and Jesus is the same. And we have the perfect Word right here. We have the perfect Christ as far as in the printed form. The two. So when we go back to Romans 10, 11, and it says, for the Scripture saith. That's the Lord Jesus Christ himself talking to you. Let's take a look at, let's see. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Who's got that one? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I see that hand over there. No.
I don't have it.
I got it. I will take it.
Son, he got it.
I have it just a moment.
And then there's someone else. Go ahead.
2:1. And here we go.
Yep.
Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Yep. So we see there that the Holy Spirit and the Word of God is the same. The two are the same. Jesus and the Scripture is the same. We're building the cornerstone here. When you deny one, you start denying all of them. I know, I get shot for this, I know two pastors in the Westerville area that have told me that the Word of God is by man. It's written by man. We just read the verses written by the Holy Spirit. And we could go a ton of verses on that. Let's take a look at one more, and let's take a look at Luke 1:35. Who's got Luke 1:35? We're showing you the cornerstone, the foundation.
Luke 1:35?
Yeah, Luke 1:35.
And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee should be called the Son of God.
How about that? Now we're showing that the Holy Spirit and the blood of Christ. The cornerstone. So when you deny the blood, the Holy Spirit. The whole keystone is the Scripture. And if you don't believe the Scripture being pure, and a lot of pastors I know do not believe the Scripture is pure. I heard it on the radio before I picked up Jenny today. This guy was talking about Goliath, and he had on bronze. Bronze. You know how many Bible studies that destroys because he was wearing bronze, not brass? Brass is God's judgment. And study brass all the way through Scripture there, and it's all judgment all the way through. You got the brazen altar. Yeah, they totally destroyed all the Christ in the book of Revelation has brass feet, judgment. Samson, when he lost his eyes, he had brass put on him. Again, the temple had golden shields. And when the enemy came in and took them out, what were the shields replaced with? Brass. Again, brass is judgment all the time. If you go to, quote, the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass. And that's what's wrong with a lot of times in the gospel. We're brass instead of having, we're judgment instead of bringing him to the place where judgment took place, and that's at the cross. So having that laid as the foundation, let's take it Romans chapter 10, verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all them that call upon him. No difference. Let's take a look at Romans. In the book of Romans, chapter 3, verses 10 and 13. And then also verses 22 and 23. Who's got that one? Romans chapter 3, going back to our study there. Okay, let's see, Romans 3, 10 to 13.
As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable, there is none that doeth good, no, not one.
No, not one. All. The duck? You got the other?
What's the... You said 13, didn't you?
I didn't finish. Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't finish. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used to seek. The poison of man is under their lips.
Yeah, that's describing sinners. There's no difference, guys, between the Jews and the Greeks, the Jews and the Gentiles. If we take a look at Romans chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. 22, 23. Anyone got that? Jill.
Ooh.
Jill's got that one. All right.
Hey, come on.
22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
How about that? Every single person on this planet, all have sinned. And the sin nature is talked about in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. There's no difference. What does the sin nature look like? All have sinned.
To what?
1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17.
You're right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Amen and amen. Take a look at any single person you meet who's not saved, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And when you and I are not in harmony with the Lord, we mess around with the same pattern. And that's why 1 John 1, 9 is there. It's not for the unsaved, it's for us. If we confess our sins, what? lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I just wanted to teach you guys a little bit of Yankee talk here. So, when you hear a Yankee say, I'm lost. What is he talking about? What it means when they say they're lost, it means it's where you are when you don't know where you are.
What do you mean lost?
Lost. They say lost.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. Just like when you hear them,
Boston.
Yeah, when you hear them say Wang. What's a Wang?
I don't understand that talk.
A chicken has two wings.
Oh,
a chicken has two wings.
You mean
Wang? Yankee talk, yeah. All right.
I must not be a Yankee.
Yeah. Or a tar. What's a tar?
There's four of them on a car.
You got four of them on a car.
Now that's not
Southern.
That's Southern.
Yep. Well, I got it from the Yankee book, How to Talk Yankee.
Yeah. Maybe that's one word we have in common. That's good. We found
common.
Yeah, my favorite is the one that we found down in Kentucky. Turn the light on. The way they say light, you don't get the word.
We got a Kentucky here. Is he telling it right?
Isn't that right?
Yeah, he is. He's telling it right.
Telling it right. Turn the light on.
I'll beat the tar out of you.
Yeah.
Yes,
amen and amen.
I got a grudge, and a grudge is where I park my car.
See, there we go. All right, let's go to verse. Oh, one verse four and verse 12, Acts 10:36. And if someone else can get Philippians 4:19.
I think we distracted you. What was the point of the angel?
Well,
yeah.
The word lust, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh.
Oh, okay.
Same thing, lost in the flesh. Lost with the eyes,
yeah.
And lost in the pride of life.
Kind of an
It was ironic pun, yeah. I was trying to have just a little bit of lightness, because you know how stiff Baptists get. And I know it. I've been around too many of them. And I've been to quite a few churches, even around the countryside. Unfortunately, King James churches, and they're all like, they're just stiff as a board.
Sorry.
And yeah. And they're scared to death, and you know, when you're alive in Christ, you can have fun. When I was first year I was saved, I went up to see an Indians baseball game, and I picked up this tall guy with long scraggly hair, and he had this big book in his hand. He had a Bible, a King James Bible. You and I would never have thought this guy knew anything at all, but so I started questioning things. You know, I said, "Well, you know what time God starts his day?" And he knew the answer. I was impressed.
I don't know.
And the evening and the morning was the first day.
Yeah.
God starts his day in the evening.
She thought you were talking about when his alarm goes off.
I thought it was a joke.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah, that one was not a joke. Okay. But because, you know, it's evening and the morning, I figured out what came first, the chicken or the egg.
Yeah. Well,
now, this is a joke, okay?
The chicken came first.
Yeah.
Right, because the chicken is an evening food. In the morning, it's eggs. So even in the morning, the chicken had to come first.
Amen.
Really
amen?
Good. I like that.
All right, we got one over. Okay, who's got Acts 10:36? And then Philippians 4:19. Jill?
Yeah, I'll do it. Unless somebody else.
Okay, you got it? Okay.
The word said, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all.
Amen. Preaching peace by Jesus. Peace to who? Not just the Jews, but to the Greeks and anyone else. He is Lord of all. Doug, you got Philippians 4:19?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches.
His riches.
Glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen. His riches. So we go into verse 12 here. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, because we've just shared with you, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. For the same Lord over all, and there's tons of verses, he is Lord of all, he's Lord over everyone, is rich unto all, rich, not money guys, rich. Study what the true riches of Christ is. I know too many Christians going after George Washington.
Uh-huh.
Too many of them, and they're snobs. Because they're going after the golden lamp is what they're going after. They're not going after the true riches. And when you don't go after, I like reading Christian books from the 1800s and 1900s. And you know what I pick up? Their goal was to win people to the Lord. To bring, and in different cities, when they found out there was a new group in town, they got together and prayed, how can we reach that group for the Lord? I would be part of that group. The one book I've got on revival from 1868, wherever this guy went, and just the supernatural things was happening. And so a lot of pastors asked him, can you come to my church? If not, write something down so I can follow it, because I want the fruit that you've got coming. All right? There was a real thirst for seeing people come to know the Lord, and that's really missing in many of the churches today. Let's take it verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. Now that's a reference to where? Joel 2:32. Joel 2:32. Who's got that one?
Joel 2:32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call.
How about that? That's where. So when you see a scripture verse in the New Testament, check the Old Testament, because here it says saved, but there it says what? Delivered. All right. So that gives you more of a definition.
Well,
it means to be delivered.
It's the dual application.
Correct.
Because that deliverance will come, which we'll study in the next chapter.
Correct.
In Romans, all Israel shall be saved.
Yes.
And Paul is applying that to the church in a dual application.
Correct. That is correct. Okay, let's take a look at Romans 9:11. In fact, I've got Romans 9:11. Start with verse 9. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by her father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calls. God calls all 8 billion people today for salvation.
Amen.
Calls all of them. And it's not by works. And you study any religion on the planet, it's always works. And what's happened with, unfortunately, with a lot of Baptists I know, it's gone into works. And how do you know that? Because you can't fellowship with them. They're too busy, whether it's cutting the grass or wiping down windows for them, you know, or doing something. There's no fellowship from heart to heart. And that's far more from the Lord, for us to have a heart to heart fellowship than it is doing all these other things and you think you're doing it to, you know, get the Lord happy about it. Totally. It's when you have true fellowship within a local body, your desire to sin lessens and drops, turn down, because you don't want to bring shame on people. You want to bring honor to the Lord. We're supposed to help each other out. And the greater work we do here among ourselves, when other people come in, they're going to desire the same thing. Because everyone now is stuck watching the stupid TV with this COVID thing. You got to have 6 feet between you. It's destroying America. It's only destroying the fellowship of what makes us a unique people. Let's take a look at I'm looking at the clock here. I got some other goodies for you, but let's go down to verse 14. If I had to take verse 14 and break it up for you, There are four things here. But we'd have to start the first one at 2, the second one at 3, the second one at 4, the second one at 5. The first one is found in verse 15. But let's take a look at verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So if you notice the order here, somebody has to preach. And when they preach to someone, somebody's got to hear. And when they hear, that person is responsible for believing, and they are responsible then for calling on the Lord for salvation. Johnny.
You need to go back one more.
Yes.
Verse said to be sent before they
exactly. That's what verse 14. You see how it goes in sort of like a reverse set? Now, let's take a look at Ephesians 4, 11 to 13. And I never picked this up. This has been preached probably quite a few times through my Christian life. But there's something in here I noticed. And we'll throw it out to you. But it just shook me a little bit. Ephesians 11 to 13. Who's got that? What? Four, yes. Ephesians 4, 11 to 13.
And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers. For the perfecting of saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth...
Oh, no, that's good right there, up to verse 13. All right, if you look at what they gave the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And when we take a look at our scripture verse here, in verse 14, the last part, and how shall they hear without a preacher? Guys, every single one of us are the preachers.
Amen.
We are the preachers. He's the pastor. He does the teaching. But you and I are called to evangelize. Acts 1:8. And then we'll get to the last verse here. Who's got Acts 1:8? Acts 1:8.
But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Amen. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the Word of God, which is the blood of God, went ahead and came upon you so you could be a witness, so you could preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you don't get off the hook by paying someone else to do your work. You don't get off the hook. When you get to heaven, the Lord is looking for fruit. And guys, our job is... Our job is just to preach the gospel. Mm-hmm. It's not our job to get a hammer and hit him over the head and say, you got to get saved. Doug?
Yeah, the word preacher just means proclaimer.
Proclaimer, yes.
Proclaimer the word of God.
Let's take a look at verse 15 to wrap this up. Yes. And Johnny hit the nail on the head here. How shall they preach except they be sent? So the real order is you have to be sent and then you preach. That's all our responsibility is. It's up to the other person to hear, to believe, and to call upon the name of the Lord for salvation.
Amen.
And then we'll finish off with this. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. And I'll leave you with this. One of the meetings I was at when I was first saved, they started off the service, and we're going to end it this way, but he says, how many of you out there have beautiful feet? Stand if you have beautiful feet. And of course, everyone's thinking, not my feet. And that's not what we're talking about. Feet meaning you're taking the gospel to somebody else. Yeah. That's the beautiful feet. It doesn't matter if you've got calluses and corns and buckles or whatever else. You have beautiful feet because why? You were following the Lord.
Amen.
You were following Him. He's interested in the other person to get saved. Yeah, we had a chance to go to Cracker Barrel in Bridgeport, and we passed out at least 7 gospel tracts.
Woo-hoo.
And the waitress, which I can't pronounce her name, but you
Mattia?
Guys should put her on the prayer list. She was a little sweetheart.
Mattia.
She did a great job. But we found out her and her boyfriend bought a house. Bought a house. How about that? No kids, just cats. Okay? But she needs to be saved. And so that's what we're going for. We're trying to plant seeds. Now let's close with the word of prayer, and I hope you learn something. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, your tender mercies, and thank you for letting us be in your word. And I do hope it was crystal clear, Lord, that we are the ones who are being sent. We're the ones who are supposed to preach. And it's up to the unsaved person to hear. It's up to the unsaved person to believe on what Christ did for him. And it's up to the unsaved person to call upon the name of the Lord. Help us to be faithful in proclaiming your word. And we saw what the foundation is today with your word. Help us to stay faithful to it in Jesus' name. And help us at BBF and those that hear us. Help all of us to bear fruit for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 All right, our letters.
Luke
23.